I just came from one of the coldest doggone track meets ever. So I don't know if things get heated in here. At least it'll help me thaw out. Okay. Okay. So I'll now call this regular session of council to order this day, Tuesday, April 7, 2026. Roll call, please.
Cody Browning.
Here.
Doug McCauley.
Here.
Terry Meek.
Here.
Greg McMaster.
Here.
Chris Shea.
Here.
All right, you please stand and join me for the Lord's Prayer. Remain standing for the pledge.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. We'll start off with approval of council minutes from the regular session of March 17th and work session on March 24th. Would there be any comments or corrections? Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
I have none.
Mr. Shea?
I have none.
None from myself. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of both sessions as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Browning, second by Mrs. Meek. Roll call.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Councilman McMaster?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
The minutes have been approved as presented. Any pending old business? Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
I have none.
Mr. Shea?
I have none.
None for myself. Correspondence this evening?
We have none.
Okay. Visitors this evening, we have representatives from the Clyde Public Library. Okay, so I'll yield the floor to you.
Thank you for seeing us this evening. My name's Angela Herrera. I'm the children's librarian at the Clyde Public Library. I believe I've spoken here in front of all of you except for maybe Mr. Browning. So in case you didn't know who I am, that's who I am. I am a graduate of Clyde, actually, in 2005, which is further back in the past than I'd like to think about. But anyway, I have come here tonight to talk to you about our summer reading program that the library does every year. So it's a big part of my job making sure that I'm providing activities and motivation for kids to continue reading and using our library through the summer months. And one of the ways we do that is participating in summer reading. So last year, for example, there were 315 kids who signed up to participate in summer reading, which just means that they're signing up to read. When they read so much, they earn tickets that they get to use towards prizes. So I had 315 kids participate, and I also had almost 700 kids and families attending programs that we have at the library. All of our programs are free. All of our prizes are free. They're all donated. So it's a very big part of our kind of our communities. When they think of the library, I think most people think about our summer reading. Something else that we've started doing as well is using a kickoff party to kind of set off summer reading. So last year, we had over 350 people attend that. The year before, it was 250, so we obviously saw a lot more people than we did the year before that. And we anticipate even more this year because our summer reading theme is dinosaurs. And everybody loves dinosaurs, right? So this is just something that we come to the City Council to talk to, just to ask for any kind of support that can be given towards our summer reading, because like I said, everything is free to the community and to the public that use these programs. And sorry. I feel like I'm rambling. Did you have any questions for me? I also have our director, Rachel Hank-Bentley, with me.
who did that lovely stat sheet.
Yes.
Last year for those.
Okay.
She has more of the technical support.
Ms. Smith?
I have nothing. Thank you for the program that you guys do. It is wonderful. I take my grandkids every year.
Oh,
so.
Thank you.
Mr. Browning?
Yeah, no questions, and the same. I have two young children, too, and we go every year, too.
Oh, awesome. Perfect.
Yeah, they love it. I love it.
Thank you.
Mr. McMaster?
Yep, thank you for your work in our community.
Thank you.
Mr. Shea?
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
You mentioned 2005. We were there together. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Mr. McCulley was my art teacher.
So, you were a very talented painter.
Oh, thank you.
So, I commend you again. When school's out, education is not out. And this is a way to enrich and to continue it. And those who are excelling to go ahead and continue to feed that, and those who may fall a little bit through the cracks to lift them up, to keep them interested. In the digital age, connection and interaction with text reading and just reading in general, I think I don't want to call it on the way out, but we need to preserve it,
yes.
Okay? And I think this is one way to preserve that, and making fun activities and having people who are fun and dedicated to the education of our children is priceless. So thank you for what you're doing. I'm sure that towards the end of this meeting, there will be a motion, and we will be able to contribute again and support your program. Okay?
Thank you.
So thank you.
I would like to add one more thing. I'm Rachel Hank-Bentley. I am the director at the Clyde Public Library, and we did start a new initiative. We partnered with Connecting Kids to Meals out of Toledo. They run a snack and lunch program. We're actually their farthest site from Toledo. We did lunch and snacks on Wednesdays to coordinate with story time. And through that, we served 321 snacks and lunches throughout the summer. They also asked us to join in for a pilot test of rural grab-and-go snack bags. And we had the highest, averaging 35 bags per Friday. We handed them out, enough where we had to use some of the donations to get snacks to make sure no kids left without anything. So we did a great job, and this year we asked to do lunch Monday through Friday for the kids for summer.
Wonderful. Thank you. Anything else? Okay. You'll hear from us towards the end of the meeting. If you don't wish to stay, you don't have to, but I'm sure you might find this entertaining. Okay? All right. Anyone else this evening wish to address council? Yes, sir. Well, state your name and your address and
Absolutely.
Your topic.
My name is Brandon Elliott, and I'm from Toledo, 2652 Stanford Drive. And I've been in and out of Sandusky County somewhat for vacation. I went to put in Bay off season. That was my first time. And obviously, I'm not from here. I moved up from Atlanta in the fall in Toledo and joined an organization called Falcon Forge. We solved a problem that basically the state created when they passed the current House Bill 96 and specifically the revised code 9.64, which is the new cyber compliance law that they passed. You heard in September when they were urging y'all to pass resolutions saying you would comply. By September, about half the townships have done that. We've been in Lucas County and Wood County. But the work we do and what we do is we do a gap analysis on where you're at and where you need to be in terms of the law. And I work with John Crisp, who's from a retired pilot, Air Force guy from the Fulton County Authority, Airport Authority, and he retired and started this organization. And what I'd like to do, Mayor, is either meet with somebody in your administration and hear us out, what we're doing in Lucas County, what we're about to do for Wood County. And they chose us, and y'all know the problems they've had. And also in Lucas County with the townships that we've worked with, like Springfield Township, Monclova Township, Freedom Township, Spencer Township. And once they see what we have and how we do it, it gives the township a visual. If an auditor comes and audits you, it gives them a reason to walk out of your office. And so we actually make a compliance playbook for the township in print. And we make a copy for your auditor should you ever get audited, you can hand off to that person. What I'd like to do is come back and take 10 minutes and show you, or maybe come by your office and talk to the right person. Safety director, IT director, someone from your administration, maybe you as well, and any of the trustees that want to hear about it. I'll be glad to follow up with some information at a later time. But that's what we've been doing in and out of Sandusky County, Erie County. I've been even down to Fulton County next to us in Henry County. So the level of interest is off the charts. We talked to Kyle Brooks at the Townships Association, at the Ohio Municipal League, Mr. McGee, and then at the County Association, Cheryl Subler, and all three organizations, we're looking at partnerships with them as well. And that's pretty much it. I wanted y'all to be aware of it. There is a laundry list of things that you're responsible for, and what we do is organize all of it as a task list before July, and we say what your IT person should be doing, you know, what they provide. We work with that person, and we actually produce the report that they're not going to want to really have to mess with. They're busy enough protecting the city, you know, city of Clyde. But that's pretty much it. I'd like to give you my business card if I can.
If you would. Our city manager, Justin, is our former IT director.
Okay.
Our current IT director is not here.
Okay.
But the two of you.
Absolutely. We would love to do that. And again, it's just something that we solved, I feel like, in the fall. And even Kirk Harrath, who wrote HB 96, we've met with him twice. And he said, I've not seen anything like this. This is really cool. And we got invited to go meet with Governor DeWine. So it's just something we built. We're proud of it, and I think it'll benefit everyone. So I'll be glad to give you my card, and thank you so much, Mayor, and thank you so much, Councilwoman. Thank you very much, and love the library reading programs. I read like crazy when I was a kid. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to address council? All right, let's move along to a first reading of ordinance. Number 2026-30. So would you give the first reading of that, please?
Ordinance number 2026-30, adopting and implementing the Residential Code of Ohio for 1, 2, and 3 family dwellings within the City of Clyde, amending Part 13, Building Code of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Clyde by deleting existing Chapter 1303 and creating new Chapter 1301, Building Department. Whereas the City of Clyde, Ohio, the City, is a municipal corporation duly organized and existing under the laws of the State of Ohio and possesses authority to adopt and enforce local building regulations pursuant to Ohio Revised Code 731.231, and Article 18, Section 3 of the Ohio Constitution, and whereas the Ohio Board of Building Standards has adopted the Residential Code of Ohio, RCO, for 1, 2, and 3 family dwellings pursuant to Ohio Revised Code 3781.10, establishing statewide minimum standards for the construction, alteration, and maintenance of residential structures, and such code is updated periodically to reflect current building science, safety, research, and construction practices. And whereas the city currently administers and enforces the Ohio Building Code for commercial and industrial construction through its Department of Building, Engineering, and Inspection, and this council finds it necessary and appropriate to extend the city's building code enforcement authority to include residential construction in order to provide consistent oversight across all construction activity within the city. And whereas City Council finds that the public health, safety, and welfare of the residents of the City of Clyde are best served by ensuring that all regulated residential construction, including new construction, additions, alterations, renovations, and changes of occupancy, is performed in compliance with minimum standards for building, structural integrity, fire safety, electrical systems, plumbing, and mechanical systems. And whereas the city has experienced an increase in the purchase, rehabilitation, and resale of residential properties by investors and speculators, commonly referred to as house flipping, and council finds that such properties are frequently subject to rapid and extensive renovation work that, when performed without required permits and inspections, may conceal substandard construction, deferred safety deficiencies, improper electrical wiring, inadequate structural modifications, or other code violations that are not visible or readily apparent to subsequent purchasers, their lenders, or home inspectors, conditions that create ongoing risk to future occupants and neighbors. And whereas council further finds that residential properties held for rental or investment purposes, including properties not occupied by the owner as a primary residence, present a heightened risk to tenants and to the broader community when renovation, repair, or rehabilitation work is performed without the oversight provided by required permits and inspections, as tenants generally have limited ability to independently assess the safety or structural integrity of housing they occupy and may lack the leverage to require corrections prior to occupancy. And whereas the Residential Code of Ohio, once adopted by a municipality, applies uniformly to all regulated residential construction within that jurisdiction without regard to the ownership, occupancy, or investment status of the property, and it is the intent of City Council that these provisions be enforced as written and applied equally to all persons and entities performing regulated work within the city. And whereas Ohio Revised Code 3781.06 recognizes the right of owner-occupants of single-family dwellings to perform certain construction and repair work on their own primary residence without holding a contractor's license, and the city does not intend to restrict that right. However, such owner-performed work remains subject to the permit and inspection requirements of the Residential Code of Ohio, which are not intended to burden the homeowner, but rather to provide independent verification that the work meets minimum safety standards, a protection that benefits the homeowner, any future occupants or purchasers of the property, and the community at large. And whereas Council acknowledges that unpermitted do-it-yourself construction, while frequently undertaken in good faith, may involve conditions including improper electrical connections, inadequate structural support, non-compliant plumbing, improper venting, and similar deficiencies that are not detectable without inspection that may worsen over time and that can pose risk to occupants, neighboring properties, and emergency responders, and that the permit and inspection process by providing a professional review of such work serves as a reasonable and low-cost safeguard against these known risks. And whereas the adoption of the Residential Code of Ohio will promote consistency with statewide construction standards, support real estate transactions by ensuring that permit records and certificates of occupancy are available for residential properties, assist lenders and title companies in verifying compliance, and contribute to the long-term stability, safety, and quality of the city's housing stock. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the Council of the City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1, Chapter 1301, Building Department of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Clyde, Ohio, is hereby created as shown in attached Exhibit A. Section 2, Existing Chapter 1303, Building Department of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Clyde, Ohio, is hereby repealed in its entirety. And there is an attachment.
All right. You've heard a rather lengthy first reading of Ordinance 2026-30. So I'll open up for comments, Mr. LeBen.
So we had our work session on this topic. Obviously, you know where, from the administrative side, the issues that we've run into and the things that we don't really care about in this code or who we're looking for and targeting. I mean, I think the big one was, you know, when we had a condemnation appeal that came in, and one of the big questions that came out of here was, how do we know if we lift this condemnation, this property is brought up correctly, or at least in some fashion? Well, we don't. We have no mechanism for these things. Jared and I have begun documenting most of the complaints again and going back through some old records on, again, a lot of the rental properties that we have where a ceiling fell out of a bathroom and there's black mold discovered because there was no venting and things are done improperly. Or the tenant was instructed by the landlord, go ahead and wire that in. And then when wiring it in incorrectly, caused an issue that blew out the service and backfed into basically our line. So we have enough examples. What we don't have is a lot of examples of caring about what actually goes in your house that you're doing yourself. So the last of our worries. But a way to bring some standards up, be able to provide inspections and a good list of regulated licensed contractors. Because again, another complaint that comes up frequently is from people who are ripped off by fly-by-night people, substandard work, how do you help me, and then blaming us that we have nothing to help them when, well, I mean, you did hire somebody off of Facebook for, $1,000, and they were going to do all this job, and they left you with a roof that now leaks when actually you were just trying to fix something else, and we have nothing to do with any of that. So, again, the attempt, and this is part one, so this is the establishment or reestablishment of this. You see there's no inspections actually listed nor fees. Assuming that this would pass, you would then see a second ordinance that gets into much more detail. It would be the, so this would be the establishment. The second ordinance would be the action or enforcement wing of, obviously there's mandatory things in the code that we could never get away from, but then it does have very detailed carve-outs for do-it-yourselfers, and then we can kind of get into our a la carte of what things we want to take and what fees we'd actually set. Since this part has to be sent to the state, you could, in effect, pass this, we would be able to do it, but if we didn't pass a second ordinance, there's actually no enforcement that would ever happen. So you could always have it. A future council could enact an ordinance, or they could repeal an ordinance to turn this on and off, or add different features, or we want to do permits on this now, but you don't have to at least go through the state every time. So we didn't put this all into one code. And two, we wanted to make sure we had plenty of time to get into plenty of discussion, go through the secondary ordinance, and get everybody's feedback and questions out as well. In a nutshell, there's more and more I could go, but we'll probably have to say this again.
Comments, counsel, Mrs. Meek?
I don't have anything at this time.
Mr. Browning?
Nothing for me.
Mr. McMaster?
I'm sure we'll hear it again about putting our noses into what people do on their private property, but of all the issues that have arisen, the protections this can make for our residents, I think it's probably the right direction to go.
Mr. Shea.
I have nothing.
I have quite a bit. Some of this will overlap into some of our other discussions of what we add on to this later on. But after we left the work session with Safe Built, I was uneasy about when somebody comes in to present something to you, and in this case, a salesman, he's there to sell you something. And Safe Built was there to sell us something. I asked a lot of questions. You guys were there. You knew a lot of questions. And rather than just accept those answers, I need to find answers for myself. I reached out to a variety of contractors, HVAC, plumbing, new construction, renovation. I reached out to the mayor of a neighboring community who had absolutely nothing good to say about Safe Built. Now, I don't have a problem with the concept. My issue comes with the implementation and how it's going to be implemented. And as Justin stated, is that we can piece together, down the road. But we have to establish this building department first. I'm not here to, crucify Safe Built, but in all the conversations that I've had, my job is not just to sit here and just say yes, no, and next. I have to investigate. That's how my mind operates, so that I can find answers. 99% of the legislation that's come before me since I've been on council, I've been fine with. But if I lay awake at night and it's really on my mind, I've got to put that to rest, and I haven't been able to put this to rest. So about 80 to 90% of the contractors that I have spoken with are not in favor of Safe Built. Puts a tremendous burden on property owners with having to get permits, and in this case, you know, I may be jumping forward, but this is coming from our work session, having to run to Fremont to get find somebody sitting in a cubicle who's going to authorize it or not, this, slowing the process down. In speaking with the mayor of a neighboring community, he said, they're done with them. Now, I don't know that safe belts are the only answer, if they're the only third party, but this is a for-profit permitting and inspection. But the answers I get is they slow walk. They're for-profit, so once they get that permit, that's fine. Inspection, 2 to 3 days, unrealistic. And that was the answer that we received during that work session. Now, more like 5, 6, 7, 8 days, sometimes even more. It depends on and the attitude, so to speak, of the inspector. Sometimes they come in and inspect or just come in and say, okay, where do I sign, and leave and don't inspect at all. I don't want that for this city. And if this is the direction we're going to sort of get in partnership with them, I'm not for that. Property owners, primary property owners. Now, I want to preface this by stating, how can you separate me as a property owner and as a council person? I don't know that you can. I've been a property owner for a long time. This affects me, but it affects an awful lot of people like me, so I'm going to speak for them. If I had to abide by all of these things, I would not have been able to renovate my historical home without a tremendous amount of interference. When I bought that home, it was all knob and tube wiring, okay, which was concept-wise very, very, very safe. But how that passed inspection back then, I really don't know. When you go to purchase a place, you have to have it inspected. What I want to make certain of is primary property owners, if it's your residence, there are certain things, yes, that I agree with being inspected. Safety issues. If I'm standing and I'm hanging on my ladder, which I have done for years on my old house, I don't need some 5-foot guy showing up with a 4-foot clipboard saying, oh, you're in violation. What are you working on? Because it's in print doesn't mean that it's exempt from violation. I want to make certain of that. So property owners have been hammered the last couple of years in curbside tax assessments. With those assessments, oh, we're going to raise you another 16 to 18%, but so is your insurance company. And now here we come, and we're going to expect more and more monies to be spent on permitting. If I want to put a window in my house that I have paid, probably the worst investment a human can make is buying a home, as I'm concerned, I don't need and I don't want somebody telling me that I need to have a $15 to $25 permit to put a window in or a door in or a receptacle plate or a faucet. These restrictions are what Ottawa County has, and I don't want to be Ottawa County in Clyde, Ohio. So these are my concerns. The concept, I agree with. The implementation worries me. I want to make certain that that does not burden our homeowners. I'm concerned that homeowners that want to do projects, now they have to get all these permits and they have to do all this stuff, which even if they're contracting it out, that's more expense added on to them. You know, contractors having to be registered with Safebuilt or registered to whatever entity is going to be doing this. This money, this permitting money doesn't stay in Clyde. It goes to Safebuilt. And I don't know what percentage of that goes to the county or anything like that. So, and when I look back at some of this language in here, it's sort of contradictory where it's stating that applies uniformly to all. But then in down here, it says the city does not intend to restrict the rights. So that's sort of a contradictory phrase for me, for homeowners. I understand that there's a need for it. We have a lot of, I won't just say it as if, fly-by-nighters. They have a tool belt and a rusty hammer, okay, and they call themselves a contractor. And because they're $500 to $1,000 cheaper than somebody else, they're going to take it, because then you're going to get what you pay for. I understand that. Is it overreaching? Is it overregulating? Maybe in some instances it is. But I use myself as an example, and again, I think I'm speaking for others in that. I'm competent enough. That doesn't mean that everybody else is, but I'm competent enough to put a door in, a faucet in, to do my own drywall. I've been doing that in this monstrosity of an old home for what seems like forever. But I want you guys to also understand, let's analyze this. Let's really think about this moving forward of what the long-term ramifications of it are, okay? Justin won't always be our city manager. Jared won't always be our zoning director. How are the next people coming in going to interpret something that's already law? So let's take a look at that, okay? So those are my comments. I've thought a lot about it, and sitting here affords me that right, okay? So anyone else have any comments? There will be a second reading of this ordinance at our next regular session, of which then the vote will take place on that. But I have one additional question. Justin, the building department, who will supervise the building department? Will this be under zoning, be under Jared?
No, it's me. It's me.
Okay.
I mean, the building department, it already exists now.
Is it an additional responsibility going to be for him, or this is
no.
Something to satisfy the people sitting in swivel chairs in the state
department?
You
have to define, like the building department exists currently with just outlines commercial and industrial inspection.
Okay.
So this just adds potential piece to the building department as something it will take care of, and then it can be implemented in-house, obviously license inspections and things like that, but... I will say, I mean, Safeville's been fine for us. I don't know that I have complaints. The developers that I've talked to were fine. Northwood's got all their inspections. When we've called for anything we need, even for just nuisance complaints, Safeville shows up in a day or two. We schedule them, and they show up. I mean, I have no instances for any of our projects or things we've asked them to come outside and just take a look at the buildings when we know there's no permits being pulled even on the commercial side, and they're here and ordering stop work orders. And like I said, Northwood's built their whole facility with them. So at least from Clyde, maybe they're over here more and they're doing the work. But I'd also say, I know they're moving multiple counties. Like to say, I mean, the ordinance reads as well as you can between the lines of it does have to be applied uniformly and fairly. But as we know, well, you're not allowed to speed, but we don't catch every speeder. We don't even go looking for them in certain places on certain roads where you know they're happening. There's just nowhere to even put a police, you know. So the enforcement wing is always a little differently done, and we know what our targets are. So I'm trying to say it as legally as possible to, we know where the problems are. It's not with the do-it-yourselfers. Well, we can only carve off the language so much to say we're not. But you'd hope, and Jared and I plan on being here for a little bit, that by the time, if this wasn't thing that was rolling, you've got a decade or more of an implementation that should hopefully have ironed out most of its who knows what questions, complaints, and people are used to what those expectations are. But councils come and go as well, and they sometimes ask for us to ramp up or down enforcement or get rid of things, which is why we also wanted to have a two-part ordinance to make sure this could be turned off or adjusted as it goes. And the residential building code changes. Maybe stuff gets more exempt. I'm guessing it probably doesn't, just based on that's what the state passes. But we can go down. I know what I'm looking for in terms of needing to help people, and it's not you and your water heater, so to speak, or the guy putting in the windows at his own house. Now, I say that to make sure it's on record, is we don't get complaints from people at their own homes,
yeah.
Right? So, you know, we're not looking, but we do get complaints from people that ripped us off, people that left us with shoddy work, and people that left us with all, you know, issues or did something really wrong in a rental, like I said. So we would have to go down that chain of we're going to have so many piles of those. Us even figuring out the other stuff is not even going to happen, realistically. And Safeville's going to send one inspector. You know, it's not like they're going to drive the town. They never have. It's hell to get them to come for inspections, sounds like. Well, them scouring the town looking for problems probably just isn't really realistic. And I don't hear that from any other counties or anybody that I've seen is, yeah, if they just happen to be driving by and see something, maybe they stop, but it's few and far between.
Anybody else have anything for this particular one? Okay.
We lost off.
Yeah, yes, I'm asking if anyone else, but I would much rather you, other than from there, come up here, please, and then, in fact, I'm seeking input. Okay, we are.
I've listened to, you know, the video, and I've listened to Mayor McCauley, and I see both sides of this, and for being someone that's a homeowner that don't need somebody to come in and do my stuff for me, to have a permit and taking more money away from me is not something that I'm really looking for. But I also look at the possibilities of someone that doesn't know how to, they go in and wire something up, and then we got a fire call. So I see that. So, but mine is how do we do it so that people that can't afford to pay the higher price for, you know, the higher end guys, other than ones that are just, and not the fly-by-nights, but, you know, the guys that can do the work, and I can afford to pay maybe him $1,000 instead of $5,000. I think if we get, you know, go that way, is that going to eliminate them from being able to do the work? Because now these people can't pay that, so they can't even get the work done in their home. How do we get in the middle of that so that we're not, you know, not taking care of the problems that need to be taken care of, but not losing, you know, a person's house because they can't afford to upgrade it, and they know that it's going to go down. So that's, I see both sides of it, but I'd like to, you know, for me, I'd like to see something in the middle that we could work to, whether it, you know, and I don't know all the government part of stuff, so I can't go there, but how do we get it to where in-house, maybe, and maybe that's not even a possibility, but something more along that line to where we have more control over what we do and what we don't do than somebody outside of it, or if that's not even the case. Maybe it's too much money to come up with that, so... That's
no,
all I have.
I would guess, just to answer some of your questions, yeah, at least based on some of the sample fees, and where I'm sure we'd set the fees, this is not thousands of dollars in permits. I mean, depending, new construction entirely, you're getting in the prices. But how to say this, it's going to take years to implement. Every handyman, every person is going to continue doing what they're doing. Just because we put some stuff in the paper and on the books, it looks real good and sure we're going to be out there, but it's going to be years of phasing in and implementation and expectation. You're going to have plenty of people doing work that we're never going to know, never going to catch. But if somebody brings us a complaint, we have a tool to be able to go, well, okay, so this is all done incorrectly, so how do we want to move forward? As we moved into code enforcement when I started, which was a big one for me getting hired, was, you know, how do we do it with a little bit of compassion and understanding as well? So that does require, I'll just say it out loud, looking the other way on things. Undocumented-like, other than me saying this on record that will be used against me later, it absolutely is, we know where the problems are, you know, I don't have anything to be able to fix any of that now, sparingly. I have no one. We're limited on staff, the ability to call. I don't think Safebuilt's going to make enough money. They're going to add 10 more inspectors to their thing, and they're dealing multiple counties. So from the residential side, it's definitely like, here's our problems. This is what we need it for. I wish you could exempt more of it out, but the state doesn't let me, even as a charter. We can exempt some things out of it, which I'm sure when we get to the second part will be, these are what we don't care about. I don't care about your faucet. We don't get complaints about a bad faucet. We get complaints about a bad roof or a bad electrical. You know, that's not somebody we know that does good electrical. They have no insurance, and they're generally skipping out. the end goal being you're hoping that some of this also opens up that banks feel better about places that have these inspections in place. You know, they're more likely to give loans and mortgages to people if they know the house has actually been inspected. There's a ton where people are waiving the inspections right now just to get them done and going. I mean, that's fine. I'm not coming to look for you. I don't care. It's at your own risk. I would suspect you have at least 5 to 7 years of us looking the other way at stuff that, we just don't have time to even deal with and would only be a concern if it was brought to us. And it's just basically people putting it at their own risk. I mean, the amount of swimming pools that go up with no fences, your insurance hates that, and our code says you can't do it. Us enforcing all of that is next to impossible. And so it's at your own risk. If a kid wanders over, dies in that swimming pool, that's on you. We had it in code, but we didn't enforce it. It doesn't mean anything. It means you were still wrong, and you didn't check with your insurance. So that's a long, rambling way of saying this is going to go one way, and I can't say specifically, like, we're not looking for that stuff. If it comes our way, sure, we have to deal with it, but I can't on paper just, no, not you. It's the hardest part of it.
Jeff, do you have some comments?
Almost questions instead of comments. Jeff Lemon, M&M Electric. I was one of the contractors that Mr. McCauley reached out to, and I then reached out to a bunch of my cohorts, colleagues, contractors, and the first thing that came out of everybody's mouth was, don't hire Safe Bill. Thank you. So Sandusky County, a couple of years ago, implemented their commercial and industrial inspection procedures, and it was great, and they really needed that because there was other people that were doing it. Ottawa County came into Sandusky County for a while. There was other people that tried it, and it got really bad for a while. So they came in and tried to fix it, but they didn't do it correctly. They were more of I hate to use your words, but a money-hungry company that wanted to permit fees more than anything. About 2 years ago, we went to a meeting from Sandusky County. They were talking about implementing a residential program. And there were about 50 contractors there that were, jumping up and down going, absolutely no way we're going to stand for this. So they decided not to for multiple reasons. One was a money thing. There was a couple other different reasons. But I don't think that the reputable contractors are against this. I think what you're trying to do with this ordinance is absolutely the best thing for Clyde that could be. But you're not going to fix, like you said, we're not going to fix the fly-by-night pickup truck guy with no sign on the side of his truck. First of all, he doesn't have insurance. He's not licensed, and what's he going to do? He's going to come to somebody's house and go, I can do it for $1,000 when another contractor comes in and says it's going to be $3,000. Well, if you do the permit thing and you do hire Safe Built, and I just went through this with them, I just was charged over almost $400 for an electrical service upgrade on a commercial project that should have been $75 in Ottawa County. So their fees, I think, are exorbitant. And I like your idea of let's do this ordinance so we have the power to do that. And when I was listening, I think that's maybe sort of the way to go. It's obviously first reading, but the second part of it, enforcing it, is what I have probably the biggest concern about as a contractor in Clyde. Because, you know, if I have to myself, and I'll use the water heater, perfect example. Last night somebody calls me and says, my water heater went out, I need you to fix it. So if I have to do a permit, I either have to run to Fremont, get the permit, get all the paperwork done, pay the fee, take that time. So the fee is $45 from Ottawa County. I'm using them. And then I can now proceed to do your water heater. Well, I've already wasted one day, so you've been without one day. And now I can possibly schedule it the next day. And then the inspector has to come, so somebody has to be there for them to inspect it, which is more time. And if you want me to do it, that's more time and money. So it becomes a cost thing. So instead of your water heater costing $1,000, it's going to cost you $1,500. Now, is that worth the permits and the fees that Clyde is going to collect? And from what I understand, Sandusky County gets 1% of the fees. I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that's the number I remember. So 1% of that $390, is that worth to the city of Clyde to do what they're doing? I think that implementing it is absolutely going to be your worst nightmare. Hiring them to do it, I'm not sure is the answer, but implementing it somehow. And if somebody's going to put a deck on their house, or they're going to put an addition on, or they're going to put a swimming pool in, they're supposed to come to the city and get a permit, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if they come and get a permit from the city, you already know what that, I mean, have a pretty good idea of what they're going to be doing. Is hiring a person going to be justified to go out and make sure that that swimming pool or that back deck or that door or window was installed correctly? I don't think you have permits for doors and windows, but I don't know whether that's the whole total answer, but I think as I heard you read the ordinance and the way it was worded and your explanation of it is, I think it's in the right direction. I'm not sure it's exactly what the city wants, especially if it leads to a permit inspection system, unless it's run by the city of Clyde or something that's a little more governed rather than somebody that just coming into town and trying to suck up a bunch of money to do their inspections. I've not had great experiences with their inspectors, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But that's where I am, and I thank you for your time. Do you have any questions for me?
Jeff, good points. Thank you, because we'll probably for the second part, not to put you for some free paralegal work, scrutinize the second part. You know, there are things that will be in there that the state just requires we do no matter what I want to do that I may not completely agree with in any sort of fashion I wish we didn't have to do.
Right.
But there are a lot of carve-outs, and there are some things that I still – because it's very rough. You know, I'm still in it. I have no illusion this is, like, implemented in the next month that we're running. This is definitely – the second part will take time, might even require another work session or more just to go through this with a fine-tooth comb and get as much feedback as possible. I'm sure we're not going to – because we can set the residential fees and pick most of the inspections. We can either not require a ton or maybe handle – some of those inspections ourselves, or just, here's your permit, Jeff, give me a call. You know, we'll send somebody over to do a final or something if that's what some required. But, you know, instead of to speed that process up, I don't know, because it's very rough. I mean, we're running it through. There's a lot to go. The commercial and industrial, we don't set those fees. So apparently, yes, our county has set the fees much higher than Ottawa County. I don't know if I actually could override them or not with the local commercial and industrial fee ordinance. I'll have to look into that, too. That's actually a good point. Because if it's $75 in Ottawa County and $400 here?
Well, the $400 was for an electrical commercial
okay.
electrical permit in Fremont.
Okay.
And the $75 was, I think, the permit for a water heater in Ottawa County.
Okay. And that's what I also want to get right, is not having all of this inconsistency between
right. –
So I need to look at all their fee schedules. Obviously, I haven't put an absolute ton of time in because this needs to pass before I would even get to the second part.
Sure.
So, we've got a while, but I guess plan to be involved. just to scrutinize, because I want your input on it. You do good work. We want to keep you incentivized to be doing that here and not make this preventative.
And my suggestion, if I might, would be to contact maybe 3 or 4 or 5 good contractors and just say, hey, we're going to have this meeting, and would you be interested in putting your input into it? Mm-hmm. And I think that local contractors would be very interested in that, because every one of them that I contacted was like, they're going to do what? Geez, we better get interested now. I don't see any of them here, but I know 3 or 4 of them said they were busy, but et cetera. So I think that a work session or something would be a great idea, just to get
a little more
input as to what. And your point of, you know, maybe we're not worried about water heaters. Maybe we're only worried about somebody putting an addition on.
To say from my point, not to interrupt here, is most of mine is absolutely, I could care less about most all of that.
Right.
Just to put on record, I mean, it falls in the gosh dang code that I wish I didn't have to. I wish I had a way to carve off those pieces, because that's not where we get any complaints or have issues.
Right, right.
It's on the one. Like I said, the big one for me is we had a house cracked in half. We're all a little concerned on what's going to happen in there once that's straightened back up and somebody buys it, you know, and people are waiving a lot of inspections when they're buying homes now and stuff, and it's like, I have zero idea. And then we always get the calls later.
Right.
On the people like, hey, this is messed up. You guys knew about it. Like, yeah, but we actually couldn't do a thing about it. I couldn't get you an inspector. I couldn't get you anything.
Right.
So, I know what we're after. But, how do I not de-incentivize you and make this prohibitive for people and yourself and good people to do work? So I do. It's going to take years of, like, getting that bar standard and going through. And I know there's competitors to Safe Built, too. And, you know, as a private company, our job is to facilitate. If you guys suck, then we'll find somebody else to do this, or we'll license it ourselves and run the inspections ourselves. You know, so do a good job. Don't mess with the contractors. Stop, you know, I get it. You're in it for profit, but we're not going to – I think there are ways, like, they can only do a fee once, even the reinspection. We can set a fee of reinspection to zero. Okay, cool. So you've got an incentive not to come back and mess with this guy, because you're just now – they're spending money to come out here. The goal to get you cleared.
Right.
So, but that's, like I said, this is actually the easy section. The second part will be conversational and argumentative, as expected, but for good, what we want to actually achieve. Yeah. Thank you for coming, by the way.
Mayor, I got one more question.
Yes.
Jeff, there are many contractors, excuse me, out there, good, bad, indifferent, but something like this, an ordinance like this, wouldn't it level the playing field for the good contractors? Aren't there some good contractors that are underbid by the fly-by-night places?
To answer that question, certainly there are. Okay. So, but the biggest concern that I probably have as a contractor is and we keep using the term fly by night, the unreputable contractor, the guy that puts the roof on for $1,000 and doesn't, that guy's not going to come in and get a permit. He's gonna go over there on a Saturday afternoon, and he's gonna throw that roof on there or do whatever he's going to do, collect his money, and go to the next one. So every municipality that I've ever dealt with, and I've dealt with a bunch of them, that has that problem doesn't know how to fix it, because the guy that wants to undercut and doesn't want to get a permit isn't going to. He's just going to, you know, so-and-so's buddy with a pickup truck is going to come in and do that job. Is it going to level the playing field? Actually, my opinion is it might make it worse. For two reasons. One, if I'm going to do an electrical job on your house, and I can do one for Frank that lives out of town. I don't think you live out of town. You know, you're still in town. I'm sorry. Somebody lives out of town. Okay, let's say out of town. Do I want to go through the permit fee and the inspection fee and all the rigmarole to do yours instead of his when that's a job that's going to pay the exact same amount? So does that level the playing field? I don't think so. Okay. For that reason, I think you're going to take the reputable guys and they're going to go, I don't want to mess with all that crap. I'm just going to go somewhere else and do it and let the other guys horse around with the people in Clyde that are going to be requiring permits and stuff. And, you know, that's just my 2 cents worth on it, but I think I hope that answers your question.
Okay. Thank you.
Jeff, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Right. I just have one additional comment, and we'll move on. So we've been on this for a while. But as I've looked at this through, like, binoculars. I'm trying to see what I can't see with the naked eye. I'm trying to see what the future holds for these things, okay? That if justice is not there, then the next person comes in with some dictatorial approach. Everything that's in text must be implemented, okay? So as we craft this going forward, and the reason why I've brought a lot of these things up is for you to think about is how we can do that. Now, we can't see that far into the future, but we can try to protect some things against it, okay?
Well, a little history, and I couldn't say that it had residential, but the city and Fremont were both contracted with Ottawa County for building inspections from 1990 to 1992. And then it went so bad that they repealed it. But now it doesn't say if it was residential, commercial, industrial. It says basic building code, but it exempted plumbing. So we had a 2-year history of going, well, that experiment sucked. And then we went away from it.
It was.
I thought so. I kind of figured it was. But, yeah, it was done. So, I mean, there is a 2-year history of, nah. I mean, we could go like that. I'm not married to the idea. I look at tools, you know, and how I would wield these tools. Now I'm here for a while, and, again, I would hope that language clarify. You know how much we stay on the codifieds to make sure as things change and whatever to, you know, keep clarifying and give you as much power over me to make sure somebody besides me is held in check. So it should. I mean, the rough draft I have is fairly well spelled out, as it should be, leaving little, but like all codes, they're open to interpretation to some degree, and somebody will find a way to work around it.
Again, conceptually, it's necessary. Implementation, let's be aware of. Okay. All right, again, a second reading for this, and I'm sure a little bit more discussion will be held in 2 weeks at our next regular session, okay? All right, let's move on then to the next ordinance. So please assign that number and give the reading, please.
Ordinance number 2026-31, creating Chapter 907, driveways, driveway approaches, and curb cuts of the codified ordinances of the City of Clyde, be it ordained by the Council of the City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1, Chapter 907, driveways, approaches, and curb cuts of the codified ordinances of the City of Clyde, Ohio, is hereby created as shown in attached Exhibit A. And there is an attachment.
Okay, so you've heard the reading of Ordinance 2026-31. This is our first reading. Comments?
Similar to the residential building code, what a mess of driveways and curb cuts, driveways that were requested to be cut out that then never got finished. We had no recourse in going, are you going to pour an approach and finish that? Nah. Other stuff, what widths, people doing it on Saturdays, whatever. Not very clear in any version of code. We've actually been working on this one since last year to just detail out what the expectation standards are, people putting in stone driveways, not pouring a thicker sidewalk, so then the sidewalk gets destroyed as they park their trucks over it, and then they complain that somebody's going to fix the sidewalk. That's you. So, again, setting some things in place to regulate how terribly that's gone. Doesn't get used a lot, but when it does come up, we're always kind of playing catch-up and reactive to things.
Comments, Mrs. Meek?
Oh, I don't really have much. It's just coincidental that I have someone doing my driveway as we speak, so I had them read this. So,
what'd they think?
They said that they agreed with almost everything. The one thing he said was the 6 inches on residential, because that usually is anywhere between 4 to 6.
Yeah, Bill, and that was very big on Bill, but I think the 4 was always breaking up more commonly, so he's had it at 6, but
yeah.
Very loosely our standard is 6. It's in the old building standards implementation, but it's actually not codified anywhere.
Yeah, other than that, nope, so that satisfied me.
Mr. Brown?
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
I have none.
Mr. Shea?
I have nothing.
I have nothing. Okay. Anybody else? Any other comments? Okay. Again, this was the first reading, so the second reading of this one and passage or not will happen at the next regular session. All right. Let's move on to the second reading of Ordinance 2026-23.
Ordinance number 2026-23, designating the initial zoning classification of R1 single-family residential for recently annexed real property consisting of 5.648 acres owned by William and Yvonne Shear and Matthew and Katja Soper, and amending the official zoning map. Whereas this council did by ordinance number 2026-06 on February 3, 2026, except for annexation to this municipality certain real property as described in Exhibit A. And whereas the City Planning Commission did at their March 5, 2026 meeting recommend by motion that said real property be zoned as R1 single-family residential. And whereas this council does further determine that the Planning Commission's recommendation reflects the best zoning classification for such area. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the Council of the City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1, that the area described in attached Exhibit A be in the same as hereby established as R1 single-family residential, and that the official zoning district map of the City of Clyde shall be amended to show the zoning classification for such newly annexed area as hereby zoned. Section 2, that this ordinance shall take effect to be enforced from and after its passage at the earliest period allowed by law.
Okay. Ordinance 2026-23 has had its second reading. Any additional comments?
This annexation was lingering out there for a long time and has made me also want to do agreements with our townships to make this a much faster process and less painful. But, hey, nothing's crazy about it. Zoning matches, everything's good. After, I think, 4 years of trying to annex, this will be done.
Okay. Any additional comments, Council? Sure. Anyone else? May I have a motion to adopt Ordinance 2026-23?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. McMaster, second by Mrs. Meek. Roll call.
Councilman McMaster?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye. Ordinance 2026-23 has been adopted. So moving on to resolutions this evening. So please assign a number and read the first resolution.
Resolution number 2026-32, appointing a Charter Review Commission pursuant to Section 10-4 of the Clyde City Charter of the City of Clyde. Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1, that pursuant to Section 10-4 of the Clyde City Charter, and with the advice and consent of this Council, the City Manager is hereby authorized to appoint a Charter Review Commission comprised of the following 9 qualified electors of this municipality, to wit: Gary Beamer, 210 South Mulberry Street; Joe Wilson, 1024 South Main Street; Glenn Kistler, 225 Arch Street; Gary Smith, 227 Woodland Avenue; Brady T., 140 Meadow Lane; Jean Paul, 102 North Church Street; Melanie Allen, 303 White Street; Travis Brown, 114 East Buckeye Street; Keaton Leiter, 211 Amanda Street.
Okay. You've heard the reading of this resolution. Comments?
took a minute, but we have a nice range of young, old, and in the middle. And obviously we have suggested changes to the charter, so thank you guys. It'll be a fun time. We'll get in the weeds a little bit, but also wrap it up fairly quickly, so thank you.
Comments, Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. Master? Mr. Shea?
No, sir.
Just thank you to the volunteers on doing this. I know periodically we have to do this in order to maintain our charter, and thank those who are willing to serve on this commission. So any other comments, anyone? May I have a motion to adopt Resolution 2026-32?
So moved.
I will second that. Moved by Mrs. Meek, second by myself. Roll call.
Vice Mayor Shea.
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek.
Aye.
Councilman Browning.
Aye.
Mayor McCauley.
Aye.
Councilman McMaster.
Aye.
Resolution 2026-32 has been adopted. Next resolution, please.
Resolution number 2026-33, authorizing the city manager to execute an agreement with Deer Credit Incorporated for the leasing of mowers and utility vehicles for the Parks and Recreation Department. Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1, the city manager is hereby authorized and directed to enter into an agreement with Deer Credit Incorporated, hereinafter referred to as the vendor, for the lease of mowers and utility vehicles for the amount of $46,758 as per the attached quote. Section 2, that the expenditure of funds be in the same as hereby appropriated and authorized to be expended from the Parks and Recreation Fund. Section 3, the city manager is further authorized to execute any change and or additional work orders by agreed upon pricing by the City of Clyde and the vendor, and there is an attachment.
Okay, comments on this resolution?
So I should say, I know the invoice also mentions Seneca County. We've already taken possession of all of this, and it was hell to get this guy to even get us the invoice over, so I don't know, we're already driving the stuff. I have half of mine not to even pay it and see if he can take it back, but we talked about it at budget. This is a thing. I know Mr. Griffin sold, got rid of a lot of stuff. And again, I think in terms of what we go through in mowers, repurchasing all the maintenance on it, this makes great sense. If you've seen the new utility vehicles out, they're already in use. We can always go back and have him fix this invoice before he gets his check, because it does say Seneca County somewhere. But, I mean, we've already got the equipment, and we got the bill after we already have it. So it's been interesting, but it's already rolling. Again, just an approval.
Mrs. Meek?
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
I have nothing.
Mr. Shea?
I have nothing.
I have nothing. Anyone else? May I have a motion to adopt Resolution 2026-33?
So moved.
I will second that. Moved by Mr. McMaster, second by myself. Roll call.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Councilman McMaster?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Resolution 2026-33 has been adopted. Next resolution, please.
Resolution number 2026-34. Authorizing the city manager to apply for participation in the Ohio Department of Transportation's winter use salt contract. Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Clyde, State of Ohio, Section 1, the city manager is hereby authorized to make an application to participate in the Ohio Department of Transportation's ODOT's winter use salt contract 018-26 by executing the written agreement attached hereto and incorporated herein as Exhibit A. Section 2, the city manager is further authorized by this council to execute any and all documents associated with the annual ODOT winter use salt contract. There is an attachment.
Okay, comments on this resolution?
Bill wants more salt for the year, so there you go.
This is me.
I have none.
Mr. Browning?
I have none.
Mr. McMaster?
I have none.
Mr. Shea?
I have nothing.
None for myself. May I have a motion to adopt Resolution 2026-34?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Browning, second by Mr. Shea. Roll call.
Councilman Browning?
Aye.
Mayor McCauley?
Aye.
Councilman McMaster?
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea?
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek?
Aye.
Okay, Resolution 2026-34 has been adopted. All right, that's moving along here to administrative report this evening.
All right, I got about 40 minutes of stuff here, so I'm totally kidding.
You're not going to outwind me?
I mean, you've met me before. I can.
I know you can.
The raw water line passed the pressure testing, scheduled to begin, more operational standards, pumping, stuff like that here shortly. Again, a lot of this is in Mr. Pfizer's report as well. The roof at the water plant, Paul, Phil, and Tim have met with different vendors and discussions. Obviously, it's quite a large project, making sure we get the right people. As spring is once again probably honestly actually now taking place, the code enforcement and law enforcement stuff is up because everyone's definitely out of hibernation now, and you'll see some more ordinances and things we've been working on for a while, especially on the utility pole attachment regulations, things like this. Corey's reviewing them. Hopefully we'll have them soon, but there's a lot of third-party attachment wire all over poles, on the ground, everywhere that's still spring. I mean, just nightmares of stuff that we hope to be able to work on, and obviously all the code enforcement and people have been out fighting and coming out of the winter, so police have been active. Some of the four-way stop issues, they have been getting a few people here, but it's not many. Just every now and then you see somebody just probably running through it out of habit, so they're getting some warnings and stuff. But that construction for that is supposed to start taking place next week. You'll start to see some of those things start to go, and eventually then the stop signs coming into play. I have zero accidents, zero issues. Some people, like I said, most people, if you do see them, use it, they're just straight ahead, like they just went right through it and they didn't even look. But I see most people have made a point to go through during school time, all kinds of stuff, and it seems all right. Everybody's cautious and using it successfully, and we'll see that hopefully start taking place and get wrapped up. Obviously, other things going on. We have some e-bike concerns and all kinds of stuff, as I'm sure someone can talk about later. Still ongoing discussions with OnSite. I'm not sure. They had a deadline to purchase the property for the One Energy Whirlpool project kind of thing. I've had calls from a landowner or two outside the city limits about the easements and their questions and concerns. Obviously, we're an open book on that and different things on how we were going to get paid or what the agreements may or may not have been. Again, we have nothing, but they were looking at numbers, so whether that project still goes or not, or they can get it, but I'm pretty sure, I bet they bought the land this week, either yesterday or Friday. Be my guess, but I couldn't say for sure. Evergreen, still working through some discussions, mostly on the legal and side, and that's to keep the few people they have going. That'll be a thing. I'm sure we'll be meeting an exec session at some point around some of that strategy once we have a little more understanding. We did, last Thursday, I had the Oak Harbor Mayor Quentin Babcock was in town, so we did a little tour of Clyde. I'm going to go over and reciprocate with him at some point. Very smart young man, very good at grant writing, all kinds of other things, so trading and sharing ideas and stuff like that. And then the emails came out a little haphazard. Did everybody get their Whirlpool invite? You got it too, Ms. Because it looked like they thought I was the mayor in my email, because I don't think you were on that one. You were, I don't know.
This goes through like a third party that I don't know.
I don't know. So I'll be there to see what this investment's about. Just want to make sure you are all kind of aware, because I don't think Jackie didn't get one. I don't know. It was kind of haphazard on the rollout, so. And then I got direct invitations from Ryan. So we'll see. Hey, they're making an investment announcing it. That's all I have.
Thank you. Finance, Mr. Wiesner.
All right. This Friday is Amy Locher's last day. Been with the city right around 28 years. So she's pursuing another interest, and just want to wish her well. And if you have an opportunity, I invite you just to stop by her. Drop her an email or give her a call to wish her all the best. Alicia Stout was selected as her replacement. She has 5 whole days of training, and she came back the second day. So that always makes me feel better. But I have full confidence that she will do very well with the position. I did email each of you a copy of the basic financial statement from Jillian and Group, so you'll have that for your review as well. And at the next meeting, I'll have the finance report for you. And as things are shaping up, hopefully we can get back to having it the first meeting of the month like we used to, because things are working very smoothly. So it was never the intention to make you wait the full month, but you've all been here a while. You know what was going on. But see, amazing improvements. So and that's about all I have tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Frank? All right, let's go on to council remarks this evening. Mrs. Neat.
I just had one question that was asked me by a neighbor, Justin. The where the blinking red light is that going to say a four-way stop, or is it going to go to years past where it was just the Woodland stop?
As far as I know, it was going four-way.
Okay.
As far as I know, each of those lights was going to a four-way.
Okay. That's all I had.
Mr. Browning.
How much did we or did we donate last year to the Clyde Public Library?
It was
$1,000.
$1,000? Okay. That's all. Anything else? Mr. McMaster?
I have nothing.
Mr. Shea?
I have just two things. I saw on Facebook that Clyde Flyers football team, and on Friday, they spent a good part of their day cleaning up the trash along the Route 20 truck stop. And I want to give them a big shout out for doing that. Great, huge community service. It's unfortunate that we have to do that. But it is something that needs to be done. They stepped up and they did it. Good young men and maybe ladies. I don't want to exclude any ladies that's on the team. So good job for them. Another shout out I want to give to Mr. Jared Young, our code enforcement officer. I'm sure all of you guys get the same report I did. 2.5 pages of nuisance calls or nuisance cases. 37 active cases, and the guy hasn't even been here a year yet. He's a hard charger, and I really, really appreciate the hard work that he's done in such a short amount of time. Well done, Jared Young. Thank you. That's all I have, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. You heard a lot from me this evening. You're going to hear a little more. Okay. I want to give a big thank you to the Clyde VFW Post 3343. They donated $800 to a volunteer group of ladies that work very, very hard in doing the plantings and decorating downtown for both the summer and winter. And this coming up is going to be our 200th anniversary, or it is our 250th anniversary, and they have some great plans, a red, white, and blue theme, and continue and try to beautify the downtown area. Bill and I attended the GLCAP CHIP program meeting last week to sit in there, and you know, I walked away with more information than I had going in, but still walked away with the same amount of frustration that I had going in, because this is a governmental agency that doles out money, but the hoops you have to go through to get it sometimes insurmountable for some people, but some strategies perhaps to go about and things like that of how we can implement some of that here. The last grant finished up at the end of the fiscal year 2025 of the $300,000 that was allocated towards or to the city of Clyde, $181,657 was used, leaving on the table the remaining amount that goes back into the kitty and is distributed. So it would be my hope and my goal that we use $300,000 on the dot in the coming years. But the grant application is still in the process. So we're unsure whether that grant for $1,350,000 distributed through Sandusky County will be renewed. And they seem to think that positively that would happen. But we here in Clyde only used about 60% of that. I want 100%. I would hope to. So, but they did inform me that there were eight
pending applications waiting until the new cycle comes through. So there are people aware of it, and so hopefully we'll be able to utilize it a little bit more. So, but that was encouraging, 181. That's 60% of it was used. The other day I was stopped outside my home by a representative from IGS Energy, who the city used to have the contract for the natural gas aggregation. This guy, he gets a 10 out of 10 for being a smooth talker, but he didn't know who he was talking to, because I won't be out smooth, okay? He's telling me that somebody came in there. He wanted to know who was my natural gas supplier, and that they illegally came in, and I just let him go on, and then I start to challenge him. So what are you doing here? Why are you on my property? I take care of my own gas rates. I go on to apples.gov and see the rates, and I do that myself. Otherwise, Columbia Gas, you're going to be dealing their rate, whatever the market price and stuff is. But then he wanted my email, and he wanted my account number, and no. What are you doing here? All right. You shouldn't be here. But I just wonder how many other unsuspecting people, residents of this town, that this person got information from. You want to address that?
You do remember we did revise the permit process for some of that as well.
Yeah. And I looked at his
So
permit.
Do you feel like he overstepped the bounds of what he was supposed to do? He did sign off on things he would not do.
Mm-hmm.
I can get that to you to review, because we've been looking for anybody. When we tell people, when they call and say, this guy said he represents the city, we selected him, he's best friends with Jackie, I believe. Seriously, I mean, this is serious stuff. But I have nothing in writing to say that he's effectively violated, because it is he can lose his permit.
Yeah.
I mean, if he overstepped those bounds, that's why we redid the code. So, yeah, no more.
Well, he tried to get me to sign the pad, whereas he's putting me on the IGS aggregate. And I go, no, you're not. I'm in charge of my rate, not you.
Yeah.
All right.
And the biggest problem with the aggregate, like, it was actually voted on, like, 20-some, 30 years ago. And it's an opt-in. So if the city signs a contract, you are opted in, no matter what. So we now just choose not to sign the contract.
Mm-hmm.
But so to make sure people are not forcibly opt-in, they present me one every year, and it doesn't mean they go out and pick suppliers, whatever. But I'm like, no, but we can't get rid of it unless we put it out to vote. We have to like have this opt-in. Right now, I just choose not to sign the contract because the rates are so variable.
Right.
The last time people actually got opted in is the previous company actually went bankrupt because they set a nice low fixed rate. Obviously, natural gas prices spiked. That company then filed bankruptcy. You all got kicked back over. We got yelled at a lot because I can't control that. Then when we signed the contract, all right, here's the new aggregate. It's the best guy that we have. It's the only option. You're all forced in. You have to then physically opt yourself out. We force you all in. That's what's got voted in. That went terribly because everybody got locked in at a high rate, and then the prices crashed, and then everybody was yelling at us because now it's low. So we choose not to sign the contract, and everybody can go out and pick what you want to do. You know, give you the choice instead of you're all forced in, and it's your government technically forcing you. But the people did vote for that to happen. I don't know why, but... So that's the little history on how we ended up here. But, yeah, this guy, because we didn't renew the contract, this is what he goes around and says. Yes, the city picked him. We're our preferred supplier. Like, no. You know, this is – so if you feel that is, just email us with the specifics of whatever, and I'll get you the thing he signed that says he would not do this, and this. Sounds like he did.
Quite curious as to how many people fell for.
Oh, everybody.
Yeah.
No, I mean, how many calls do you get, Jackie? I mean, Jackie gets tons of calls on. I mean, we get a few.
So I'd encourage you, for those listening and those here, is to go on to the Ohio website, apples2apples.gov. You can go with short-term variables. You can go 3-year, 2-year, whatever. I pay attention to it. When I see something drop into where I think I can live with for a year, I lock into it. So, and I don't know how many people are aware that they can do that. So,
just another reason not to answer my door.
Well, he caught me coming out of the garage. I had to take my brother-in-law to the doctor's appointment. So I said, you got 45 seconds. And
he does say, if you tell him to get lost, that's a violation if he doesn't. If he has a no soliciting sign and he rings that doorbell, it's a violation. So, I mean, there's a bunch of parameters. And he did sign every peddler or whatever now signed something saying, if this has a sign, I will not be there.
Yeah.
But they are violating that.
But it was short-term entertainment. So, okay. That's it for my comments this evening. So motions this evening. Mrs. Meek.
I have none.
Mr. Browning.
I have none.
Mr. McMaster.
I would like to motion that we give a donation of $1,000 to the summer reading program at the library.
Okay, we have a motion from Mr. McMaster to give $1,000 to the Clyde Library. May I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Browning. Roll call.
Mayor McCauley.
Aye.
Councilman McMaster.
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea.
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek.
Aye.
Councilman Browning.
Aye.
Okay. The motion has passed, and Frank, you know what to do from here. Okay. Any other motions this evening? Mr. Shea?
No, sir.
And none for myself. Other than, if that is everything, then I move that this meeting be adjourned.
Second.
And second by Mr. McMaster. Roll call.
Councilman McMaster.
Aye.
Vice Mayor Shea.
Aye.
Councilwoman Meek.
Aye.
Councilman Browning.
Aye.
Mayor McCauley.
Aye. The meeting is now adjourned. Thank you all for patience.